realfaith.org.au.
We kind of said we'll take it slow, we'll see what happens, and within 3 months I kind of thought this is slow enough, and we went up onto one of the mountains close by here and I did a little speech in Latvian, and
oh, he did really well.
I got one of her friends to help me with translation and kind of set it up, and proposed to her and she said yes and got married 4 months later.
Welcome to Real Faith. Conversations about the impact faith has on our lives and the challenges we go through, helping us today and giving us hope for tomorrow. That's real people, real life, and real faith with Eric Scatterbo.
Well, a special treat for you today. We have a love story, a couple that just got married a few weeks ago. It's an international story, and they came here all the way across the car park. They go to Canterbury Gardens Community Church, which is located just across the car park from where we are here in the studios on the east side of Melbourne. Welcome to the program, Signe and Cameron Purse. Welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good to be here.
Glad to have you with us, and thanks for finding it. Was it hard to get here today?
Oh, very difficult.
You managed to make it across the car park. And the other day, I spoke with a pastor at your church, John Ramson, and he told me you have to talk to Cameron and Signe about their story, how they met and everything. It's a long story, and it actually goes all the way back to the founding of the church. So I was intrigued. How does a young couple getting together, what is the connection with the founding of the church? One of the founders was your grandfather. Is that right?
Yeah, he was the pastor of one of the churches. And yeah, they combined with another church to make Canterbury Gardens. So yeah.
So that's kind of your heritage. He was a strong Christian, passionate about his faith and the pastor there. And then what about your family?
He was always such a good role model to us. But in many ways, I think because my dad grew up in a Christian family and it was just normal for him to go to church every week, that he became a bit complacent. And along with my mum, they both were probably a little bit more complacent in their faith, went to church sometimes, but it wasn't their whole life. And so that impacted us as well as kids. We were kind of in a similar place. We had made a decision to follow Christ, and I think we understood that, but we didn't really understand what it meant to have our whole lives about Christ.
So, kind of took faith for granted at that point?
Yeah, and I think also the challenges that came from being a Christian in a public high school, I couldn't cope with it at that stage, and so I kind of caved in. Even though I still would have believed that, I just couldn't deal with the pressure of that at that stage.
And then, unfortunately, one day your grandfather, Bernard, he died, and you said that his funeral was the best sermon Grandpa ever preached. What does that mean?
Well, we say that because it really turned our family's life around. And basically because his life was such a testimony to Christ that I remember on the day of the funeral, and as I kind of sat there and watching person after person get up the front and talk about his life, how he went to this place because God led him, and then to the next place because God led him. And I remember God very clearly asking me the question, you know, what are you living for? And I had no good response to that.
Wow. So that kind of set you on a journey of self-reflection and searching?
For sure. Yeah. I still remember going home, shutting my door and kind of saying to God, I've had enough of doing things my way. I want to make my whole life about you. And so that was really a big turning point for me.
And the rest of your family as well?
Yeah, they all had individual moments, and we kind of all spoke about it and had a time together later about, just how impactful that was.
Okay, and then that revival led to you doing what?
Well, it happened at a pretty pivotal time in my life. I just was finishing high school, and so I'd had plans to go into the police force, actually, but because of what had happened, it kind of reoriented my life around Jesus. And so I didn't know that's what I wanted to do. So I was just praying about where I should go. And that kind of resulted in me just working full time, getting busy, but not really knowing where at this stage God wanted me.
And then eventually you went for a 2-week trip to Poland?
Yeah, well, that interesting story. As a family on New Year's Eve, we were actually praying together, and I remember thinking, you know, I wanted to get more involved in church, and we prayed together as a family that I would have an opportunity to do that. And then the very next day, actually, the elder of my church came up to me and said, hey, are you interested in going to Poland? I still remember thinking in my head, like, he couldn't have been saying Poland. Like, he must have said something that sounds like Poland in Australia, because that's too extreme and far away. And so I remember thinking in my head, no, I'm not going. I can't go. But I said to him, you know, I'll think about it. But then as I went home, I thought, well, you know, I just said to God that I was willing to be involved more.
But I didn't think you'd take me seriously.
yeah, exactly. I didn't think that's what it was going to be. And so I had to say yes. And that was a 2-week trip. We went in the middle of that coming year.
Okay. And we'll stop your story right mm-hmm. there, mm-hmm. because now we want to turn to Signe and find out that meanwhile, on another part of the world, in Northern Europe, in Latvia, your life was going on. Tell us what was happening up to this point in your life.
Yeah, so I don't come from a Christian family. So I guess in that sense, our backgrounds are very different. And I grew up believing I was a Christian, which I thought is enough to go to church once or twice a year for Christmas and Easter. And I never really had the real understanding, what does it mean to be a follower of Jesus? And so then around the same time when Cam's life turned around, God was really working in my life as well. Because for the first time, I went to a church where there are people around me and a community around me who are really pouring into my life and speaking to my life and just teaching me so much about God that I was really convicted about the way I was living, and I was really convicting about the choices I had made. And so eventually I made my own decision as well to follow Jesus, which in a big way completely turned around the direction of my life as well, because I was really determined to build an international career and work in, I don't know, some company, probably in Scandinavia or some other country up far north, which ironically, I said always that I never ever want to move south or be in south or live in south. Yes. So ironically, I'm probably pretty much as south as I can be in the moment.
Yeah. I love it when God does that.
So the neat thing is this kind of revival in your life.
Yes.
Was at the same time on another part of the planet that it was happening in your heart. Here in Australia.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's kind of neat how God was kind of preparing the two of you ahead of time. Now, just going back in history a little bit, Latvia in years past, up to about the time you were born, used to be a part of the Soviet Union, the former Soviet Union. And so that meant that church and organized religion was actually outlawed.
Yes, yeah.
And then around the time of your birth, after the fall of the Soviet Union, there was a bit of a revival there?
Yeah, so I was born 1 month after Latvia gained its second independence. So then churches finally opened and people were allowed to go to church and they weren't persecuted for doing that. So there was definitely a revival in church and in churches all across Latvia. And I think part of that was as well why my family initially went to church. And so I remember a few Sunday school lessons. But as much as there was this kind of explosion of people coming to faith, and then also later on it kind of faded away once it was like it was no longer a novelty no longer a new thing.
And that was kind of how it was in your life, that you kind of faded away until that mini revival.
Yes, definitely. I was just on the level where I thought the fact that I'm baptized as a baby and that I know which church I technically belong to, that makes me a Christian.
But God had more in store for you. Okay, we'll stop it right there. We still haven't found out how the two of you met. Right now in this story, Cameron's here in Melbourne, and also Signe is in Latvia. How do they meet in Poland and eventually marry and come here to Australia? We'll find out when we return right here on Real Faith.
If this program has highlighted something you'd like prayer for, we'd love to pray for you. Call 1-800-PRAY-FOR-ME. That's 1-800-772-936. It's a free call. Or text 0401-132-888.
You're listening to Real Faith, conversations with real people about how God works in their lives. If you want to know more about integrating faith into your life, our website is realfaith.org.au. Just go to the website and you'll find helpful articles about the impact faith can have on your life. Once again, that's realfaith.org.au.
Welcome back. Today we're speaking with Signe from Latvia. That's where she was born and raised. And also Cameron Purse from the east side of Melbourne. And we're hearing their story, how they met and married. Well, actually, we haven't got there yet. Right before the break, we found out how the two of them became Christians in different parts of the world. God was working in their hearts simultaneously, kind of preparing their hearts to eventually meet. And we did find out that Cameron went close to Latvia. He went to Poland for 2 weeks, but then he came back. But then what happened in your life, Cameron?
So I came back kind of really passionate for God and passionate for Poland. And I thought maybe there was an option to go back. But as I got more involved in my church here, I was helping out in the youth group, those thoughts kind of faded to the distance. And I thought, well, maybe that was just kind of an in-the-moment thing. And but shortly after that, I was helping at youth group one night on an all-boys night. And you know, as all boys do, we played a game of no-rules rugby. We thought that would be a great idea.
Seemed like a good idea at the time.
Yeah, probably regret it now. But anyways, what happened was I was basically trying to get the ball against the wall, and my leg was kind of caught in the midst of a bunch of guys, and then I got hit in the top half. I spun around, but my leg didn't.
Basically,
I didn't know what I'd done, but I knew I'd done something serious. So I went to hospital in an ambulance and kind of got an x-ray, and they said, they said to me, you've probably done your ACL. He said, just in case, as a precaution, we're going to do a scan, an ultrasound on your leg. And they did that for me and found out that I had 6 blood clots in my leg.
Oh, wow.
And then they did a precautionary x-ray of my chest, and they found out that I had several blood clots also in my lungs.
Really?
Yeah.
Was that related to the
injury? It was, yep. So basically, they'd formed in my upper leg, and then they traveled to my lungs.
All right.
It's very rare, but it happened. And so I went, I didn't really know how serious this was. They kind of took me in an ambulance to hospital, and I was kind of like, oh, seems like a bit of an overreaction. And they connect all these wires to my chest, and I was like, oh, what's going on here?
I think they were getting your attention at that
point. Yeah. I was still ignorant. I was like, oh, it's not as serious as it sounds. And I remember thinking that until I got into, you know, my little area of the hospital, and my specialist came in, and you know, specialists are always very loving and caring, and he said to me, you need to rest because you might die. And
wow.
I remember thinking, what? And I remember this fear just coming over me and going,
how old were you at this time?
This was when I was 21, I'm pretty sure, 21.
21 years old, yep. Being told you might die.
Yeah, and so it hit me quite hard.
Yeah.
And so it was funny, the nurse came over to me trying to console me and said, it's okay, it's true, some don't make it out of this, but some do. I was like, you're not very good at it.
But some do? That was her attempt to make you happy,
yeah,
or
so
to comfort
they
you?
They the world's best medical staff that I've ever met.
The bedside manner left a little bit to be desired, I guess.
But I remember at that time thinking to myself, like, God, what are you doing?
He's definitely got your attention.
What's happening here? And I still remember watching my parents leave that evening and thinking to myself, is that the last time I'll see them? And
wow.
And I remember as they left, this kind of panic came over me, and I was thinking, you know, as it would, and thinking, will I get through the night? And because the first 24 hours are the most dangerous period. And then I remember this peace just came over me, and I felt, no, God knows what he's doing in this. And this is part of his plan of my life. And I actually was able to sleep pretty well that night because I knew that God was doing something. And as a result of that, I found out I needed to get surgery on my knee, but I couldn't get the surgery until the blood clots had completely disappeared. And they told me that I could basically just had to sit on the couch for 10 weeks and rest while they dissolved.
Which for some people, that would be wonderful.
Yeah, for some people it would. For me, an active young person, I was like, no, that's not my ideal. But it was during that 10 weeks that God really convicted me, because basically all I had time for was I was reading the Bible, listening to a sermon, praying, reading the Bible, listening to a sermon, praying, and that was my daily life. And it was during that time that I felt kind of God saying, you know, that maybe I should reconsider Poland as an option. And also I found within myself a heart for God's word. And I didn't know what that meant, but about 5 weeks into this 10-week period, the guy who I was working with in Poland called me out of the blue and said, hey, I've just been wondering if you've been thinking about Poland and coming back. And I said, well, wait till you hear what's happened in my life recently.
He didn't know anything.
He had no
that.
Idea. Just decided to call me. And I told him my story, and he kind of said to me that, we'd love to have you in Poland, but we were thinking maybe it would be good to go and do some Bible college training beforehand. And, you know, that was exactly the same thing that God had been working in my heart. And so that was the real moment that I kind of made that decision. Okay, I'm going back to Poland. Don't know how long it's going to take me to get there, but I'm going back and it's going to be for a longer period of time. And
okay. Now in the story, we have you in Poland. Signe, at this point in the story, you're still in Latvia.
Yes.
Is that right?
So I started uni right after high school. And then right at the beginning of it, I got offered opportunity to work for Scripture Union, which later on led me to work in Croatia, where I was involved in their camp and leadership training ministry.
Okay, you're getting closer to Poland.
Yes. Well, I'm getting closer to south, definitely.
Yes. Yeah, which you said you never wanted to go south.
No, never.
Okay, well, so you keep going the way you don't want to go.
Yes, which often happens, right?
Yep.
So yes, I was involved in Scripture Union ministry in Croatia. And for a few years there, there were people coming from the little church plant in Poland, and they were coming for the summertime to serve and work with us there. And I became really good friends with them and decided that, oh, it would be fun to go see them and visit them. And I went up to Poland, and my friends turned out to be Cameron's friends, where he was working in a church plant.
And what did you think the moment you first saw her?
Well, it's not going to sound as romantic as it should be, but like...
After all this?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Like, oh, because at this point, it was only a couple of months till I was going home. And so I was not really thinking about developing a relationship at this point. And so when she arrived, I actually remember thinking, like, the guy who brought her often brought people to visit us, and thinking, you know, oh, you know, another person coming along to visit us. And
this is not going very well.
This is very romantic.
But then I met her.
Oh, okay. Then, okay,
this is where it gets good. But okay. But to be honest, we didn't think much, but we got on really well. We didn't necessarily go straight to this is a relationship for us, but we shared our testimonies with one another. We spent a lot of that week that she was there talking. And when she left, we kind of, although we weren't thinking relationship, we had developed a good friendship, and probably feelings that we weren't aware of because we weren't thinking about it, because it seemed silly to start a relationship at this point. And so that was that brief moment that we saw each other, and we kind of kept in contact over Skype over the next month or so. And it wasn't until this really pivotal moment for us where, three of my good friends in Poland, they left. They went on holiday somewhere and just kind of left me by myself. And we actually started to Skype a bit more that week. In fact, we actually, in the space of a week and a half, we Skyped about 6 hours every night.
Oh, wow. 6 hours every night? Yes. I think this was getting a bit more than a friendship. It's just a hunch of mine.
You would think we knew that.
Well, I remember Skyping my mom and asking her, does this mean anything? They just laughed at me.
I think they would, yes. So, Signe, when you first met him, what were you thinking?
I think I was kind of on a similar page with Cam in terms of, like, I wasn't really looking for anything. And so my focus was just like, oh, I just want to see my friends and spend time with them. But then it was really awesome how we both really bonded over that shared experience we were having, like living outside of our home country and like being immersed in a different culture and learning the language and like sharing the joys and struggles of all that.
Mm. So you had all that in common. So a lot to talk about.
Yep.
But I mean, 6 hours, what?
I know.
We were up 6 hours every night.
Yeah. It was
pretty
a 4 a.m. get up at 10 a.m. routine we had going there for that. For that
really?
Week. Yeah. Yep.
Young people, man.
I know.
Where you get your energy.
And I think the confusing thing for me was, well, like, I knew Cam's from Australia, and so then in my mind I was thinking, well, maybe he does just like an Australian culture, and he's just being like extra friendly to me.
Yeah, we're not that friendly.
Yeah, so I actually talked with one of my friends about it, and I was saying like, oh, I don't know if that means anything, or like, what should I think about it? And she's like, well, as long as your heart's not getting too involved, like, don't worry about it. And then eventually after these 6 hours Skypes one day and then the next day and then the following day, I realized, well, actually, my heart is getting involved. Mm. And so I made a decision, like, that's it. Like, we can't continue to do that. And I'm just, like, we just have to stop Skyping like that.
And so she made that decision on the exact day that I decided that I was going to tell her that I liked her. And so I was trying to get her to Skype me one last time to kind of share my feelings. But she didn't want to Skype because she'd already decided that we were done. But in the end, I managed to use my charm to convince her that we should did Skype one more time, and then we kind of, I kind of told her, expecting some, for some reason, also putting it down to cultural, expecting to get a no from her, but she said, oh, I like you too. And we both kind of got this moment where we go, now what? Now what do we do?
So what did you do?
So we kind of made an agreement that we'd both go kind of talk to our mentors, and then from that point we'd see what they suggest for us. And so I actually spoke to the Australian guy who had been working there for 7 years, and he kind of gave us a plan of how to go about it, and that involved Signa coming back to Poland for a couple more weeks, and then me after that actually going to Latvia to visit her family. Mm-hmm. This was all a month before I had to go home, so it was intense period to finish my time.
So it was kind of like pretty much like getting together, being, you know, in the same place, in the same time, figuring out whether this potentially has any future or...
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And you had to find it out really quick.
Yeah. And so it was kind of like we're doing, you know, a regular 12-month dating period in the space of a month.
I've heard of speed dating.
Exactly.
This is a variation on that.
Well, interestingly, talk about speed dating. The first date we went on when she first came back to Poland after we'd had this discussion, we went on a date for 17 hours.
17 hours?
Yes, that was our first date.
Why did the restaurant let you stay that long?
Well, it wasn't. She arrived at 5 a.m. in the morning on the train. I picked her up and we spent the whole day cafe jumping until 10 p.m. at night.
Oh, really? So several restaurants or cafes.
Avoiding the cold in Poland.
I think we always found it easy to talk, and that was one of the signs for us that it was something that was maybe meant to be in that sense, because we could just get along so well.
Okay, unfortunately, we're quickly running out of time in this wonderful love story of Signe and Cameron. How did you eventually get to the point of asking her to marry you?
Well, after I returned to Australia, we kind of began this period of long-distance relationship, which brought with it many challenges. It was really hard to stay connected from that far away, plus the time difference and those things. And so that... We did a 3-month long distance, then Signe managed to come to Australia for a few weeks to visit my family. And then after that, we did another 7 months of long distance. And it was during that time that Signe also kind of recognized in herself a desire to do Bible study herself. And through contacting my college that I was at, they actually offered her a scholarship. And through that scholarship, she was able to come to Australia more permanently, at least for a year anyway. Yeah, so she got accepted into a 1-year course. And then we kind of said, we'll take it slow, we'll see what happens. And within 3 months, I kind of thought, this is slow enough. And and I, you know, we went up onto one of the mountains close by here, and I did a little speech in Latvian.
Latvian?
Yeah, in Latvian, yep.
So. How did he do, Signe?
Oh, he did really well.
I got one of her friends to help me with translation and kind of set it up. And proposed to her, and she said yes. And that was
here you are.
Got married 4 months later. So
wow. And the future for the two of you?
Well, we're not 100% sure at this stage, but we both still have a heart for the part of the world where we were working in Signe in Croatia, me Poland, and so we kind of have plans to maybe go back and invest in those countries, but we're not sure. We're mm-hmm. kind of really open to what God does, because, you know, we've seen in the past, Signe never wanted to go south. I didn't really want to travel overseas, but we both did those things. And so I think we've learned a little bit to maybe hold the plans a little bit more loosely and see where God directs.
But your heart is for serving full-time together.
Yeah,
that's our intent, definitely.
Yeah.
And what a wonderful story of the two of you, the Lord bringing the two of you together. And now who knows where he's going to lead next. Thanks so much for sharing your story with us today.
No worries. Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Once again, our guests have been from Latvia, Signe, and from the east side of Melbourne, Cameron Purse.
You've been listening to Real Faith, and if you have any questions or comments, you can send us a message through our website, realfaith.org.au. That's realfaith.org.au. Thanks for listening, and we invite you to join us again next time for more conversations about God working in the lives of people who put their faith and trust in Him. That's real people, real life, and real faith.
This program is a production of Vision Christian Media. To find out more about us, see vision.org.au.